Hey guys, this is Brent with the Woodsman Perspective, and I appreciate y'all coming back. I want to do a little setup for this next episode. The last episode we had Bo Harris, former game warden, we had him on, and we talked about poaching and violations, and we hit on a few of his stories. We kind of stayed somewhat on topic. But in the course of that conversation, we had him in the studio, we talked for over an hour and got a lot of great stories. So what I wanted to do to follow up, I stitched them together kind of randomly. There's no real buffer in between. They'll kind of jump from story to story, but they're too good to not publish and share, so y'all overlook some of the randomness as it jumps from story to story. I tried to put them in where it flows somewhat, but you know, sometimes I just couldn't. So y'all check this out. And you know, another thing, one of my takeaways after having that conversation with Bo and listening to this is, man, those game wardens, they got a tough job. We appreciate y'all. If you're a game warden and you're listening, we appreciate what you do. Also, you know, Bo retired. Bo's been out of it about 15 years. And one thing that was really apparent to me after that talk is just how much things have changed in 15 years, just with technology and social media, just hunting in general. I mean, culture's changed a lot, and hunting along with that, man, things are different. Things are a lot different than they were then. So we may try to follow up and get someone on that's working in wildlife law enforcement currently, kind of get an idea of some of those things. But anyway, I hope y'all enjoy it. Thank y'all for listening. You mentioned Knoxby County Subdistrict. Give us a rundown on your territory, sort of your career, your time in law enforcement, sort of set up a conversation for us.
Home county was Lowndes. Yep. I was the last officer that was hired to work my county. The next hiring, you had to leave your county for 2 years. Darren Coggins, had to go over. He wanted to be a game warden so bad, and they sent him over in the Delta.
Sharkey County.
And he had to work there 2 years until an opening came open.
For Lowndes.
And possibly transfer back home, and he did. And I had the honor to work with Darren for 3 years before he passed. Well, I actually quit before he passed, but Darren was a good guy.
Good boy.
He did his job well. He treated people right and everything. But it was five-county subdistrict: Lowndes, Clay, Octibahaw, Winston, and Knoxby County. Was our sub-district.
That's a lot of good hunting inside that. You had a sub-district. If you look statewide, that's some.
Yeah, a lot.
It's not Delta, but that's some better hunting in the state, I'd say.
I'll tell you, South Lowndes, Knoxby County.
As good as they
down
can.
In there. I mean, we worked some places down in there. Cecil Crowe, Bill Yates.
Yeah.
All these big places that people knew.
Yeah, Magnolia Steel.
All that stuff. And the Walker brothers. You got the big place down there south.
Yeah, Carol Walker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, big place down in there. So, you know, you never knew. Well, we didn't have a schedule. And when I first came to work, Wayne Beery said, he saw me. I was off work one day. He said, what are you doing? I said, oh, man, I work for a truck line, Jones Truck Line here, and they decided to go bankrupt. I said, well, I don't know what I'm doing. I worked for a guy running equipment stuff for about a year, running him one day. He said, man, they fixed to hire somebody here in Lowndes County. He knew me since a boy, you know. And he said, I'll get your paperwork if you want. I never thought about being no game warden. I run from him, And we never was real bad. You know, we kill a deer, we eat it, you know, stuff like that. But at that time, you could hunt about anywhere you wanted to. You knew all the landowners and people like that. You didn't have the number of people hunting now, but big area. And you didn't know. So that's 10 officers. Typically, there's 2 officers per county. So you had 10 officers. Well, we've had all 10 of them in Knoxby. We've had all 10 of them in Winston. You
just
name it.
Working some hot spots.
Yeah, hot spots. Sometimes they even get the deputies involved with us to
help.
To big areas to try to shut something down, you know, to stop it. You get so many complaints. So you never knew where you're going to be.
Yeah, and so you were in this thing in the era before trail cameras, really. But people had trail cameras towards the end of your career, but you worked a lot of this without the technology, without the benefit of some of the night vision and the trail cameras and the technology we've got today.
Oh, man, if you had
1990, you had a bag phone, didn't you?
Well, yeah.
Or CB radio.
We used marine radios.
Okay.
Because most people didn't run it, and I've said it over here and talk to Moon Valley, other side of West Point.
Right. They couldn't pick you up on that CB in the four-wheel drive.
Right, yeah. And we always try to tell old, bless his heart, over in Clay County. He's dead now, but I'm not going to call his name. But he'd get on that CB. We always accused him of just letting everybody know we were coming.
Where was that?
You know, and we'd play cat and mouse, too, with him, you know. So they didn't know where we were at. And a lot of truth to that sometimes, you know.
Oh, but, you know, the thing, Bo, it's hard. You know, you was a Lowndes County. You were born raised here. Everybody knew you. You worked around. So now all the people that you hunted with, you had to check their license. You had to check their dove fields. You had to – I mean, so it's pretty hard politically-wise.
Yeah.
You know, he's writing, you know, judges' tickets, lawyers' tickets. I mean, you know, that's pretty tough on your man, ain't it?
Yeah, it was, but – I found out very, very early in my career, you could get in more trouble for not writing a ticket than you could for writing a ticket.
Yeah, I can see that.
Gotcha.
You know,
buddy, somebody above you could always fix it if they wanted, but writing it.
Well, I just always told people, I said, look, I'm doing my job. We're going to turn this ticket in. You can go pay it if you want to. If you don't want to, we'll go to court. You tell your side, I'll tell my side, and we're going to let the judge decide. Right. And I was happy with that.
That's right.
I did my job.
Because y'all had some good judges back then that would stick up for you.
Yes, yes. You know, yes. You know. They were.
Some of them still there, Miss Peggy. You know, she
Miss Peggy, yeah. I had a. When I first started, I'm not going to call a name either, but it was a dove field. I hated dove season. God, I hate. But we flew. Glenn Atkins up in Monroe County had a plane. And he flew. And unbeknown to me, he told us, we got a field when he could look. Tell me, it was in Lowndes County out next to the state line. Had corn all over it, of course. And and we had a whole crew together working these fields. We had them plotted. And he was my supervisor at the time. So here we had to go in. We hit this field. It was two or three non-residents there.
No license.
Kin to this guy. So we had, at that time, you carried them to jail to post a bond, because if it's not a felony, if it's a misdemeanor, they go across the line, they just don't come back. You know, you don't get them. So here we had two or three of these guys, and this guy was in law enforcement, and he wouldn't even shake my hand at the jail. Well, the next day I get a phone call from the lady you just called, and I says, she said, well, you know, I can just dismiss this ticket. I said, I'll be down there in a few minutes. Okay. And he was sitting in there. And it got away with me. And the first thing I said, man, I said, this is not right. I said, I'm doing my job. What I held up a hand and swore to do, I'm doing my job. And you want to act like this toward me? And from that day forward, that lady would call me and ask me, she said, did it give you a hard time or not? Yes or no.
And you set that precedent.
Well, you learned a little code. At the bottom of the ticket, you write a little face. If it was a smiley face, he was good. If it had a frown on him, she knew what to do. And I never, in my whole career,
Had to explain,
or sometimes she might call me. She said, you mind if I help these out a little bit? I said, no, ma'am.
You did your job, she can do her job.
That's right. And as long as something's done.
Right.
Something's doing, you know, because you know yourself, kids, a lot of the kids, the parents going to bail them out and all like that. If they don't learn a lesson, when will they learn?
Yeah. And, that thing was.
And I'm not going to call too many names.
No. That thing could have got scary.
Well, if you want me to, that deal, I was hunting with Carter Hutchinson back in the day down in there. I built roads for them and everything. Right. They paid me. I owe my days off. I'd go run equipment and stuff, and he was kind of building that place up. And the word got out about the boys. And that's when they were doing some of the, what do you call the program?
At radio calling.
Yeah, they call it, they had a name for it. Yeah. Anyway. And
telemetry.
Yeah, they.
They tagged, I mean, they collared them down on Carter.
Yeah, they had collars on them with transmitters and stuff. And I found a deer in that bottom field on Togo Road before you get up to the top of the hill. And the head was cut off. And there's no doubt in my mind that the deer would probably weigh 230, 240 pounds. And I trailed his tracks going south, and he went all the way across in that road to come off of Togo and went across to
West Minivon.
And come out on
Chachi.
The Pew Store. You know, the old store down there?
Yeah, Pew Store. 792.
Yeah, and I tracked a tracks all the way across there. We picked him up. Well, to fall back on that, one of them boys worked for Glenn. And he came in there one day and had a picture. And it was an old barn that had all these deer heads hanging up on it. Showed them to Glenn.
Right.
And he said, man, them nice. He said, yeah, most of them come off of you. Very arrogant. Very arrogant.
They were, boy. They were
and
tough.
They were
tough guys.
Thought they were pretty tough. They talked a big game, you know, but they actually had the boys cross the line over at Buffalo a little bit. And I said, okay, I'm fixing to catch them. And at the time, we got some, I got some night vision binoculars from Ed Prescott. Mm-hmm. Binoculars that you could see with.
Sheriff at the
that
time.
Was sheriff, yeah. You don't know.
And yeah. I'd leave home working. And I tell Tina, I said, I don't know when I'll be home. And I had keys to all the gates. Most people down in there concerned about the stuff give me keys. And I'd get in there way before dark. And I'd part way back in the woods so nobody would know I was even in there. And I got bad close on them. You know, I mean, yeah. I'm getting almost putting hands on folks. But that son of a gun run
slick.
Like Forrest Gump. You know
they,
what I'm saying?
They
slick.
They slick. They were sharp.
And
tough.
They
were sharp.
And one day,
hundreds of deer,
big deer, and they were entering in contests and stuff, meridian and all down in there, big deer. And I'm talking about, he grew some big deer.
He sure did.
Because they were very particular about what they shot, and they was trying to have something, you know. So there's a guy came up to me one day, and I don't remember where or what, something like that, and he said, hey, you Bo Harris? I said, yes, sir. He said, you might all leave him walk a boys alone. I looked at him and said, excuse me? Yeah, you about all leave them Walker boys alone. I said, no. I says, now, first off, you go tell that Walker boy, whichever one was, that he can come to me and tell me that. I said, but you just go on back and tell him that I'm going to catch him if he keeps on. I'm going to catch him. And I says, if he wants to be bad and think he's going to do something to me down here in the woods, we'll either go to jail or call the coroner. And that's exactly what I told him because that's the only language that them people understood.
Yeah.
I said, if they want to try me down in the woods, I'm going to protect myself.
Right.
And I swear I've had some people told me that they had people buffaloed so bad they're scared to death of them.
Oh, yeah, terrifying.
You know, my mama always said I was just crazy as I could be. I said, I ain't crazy, nobody, no thing but the Lord Jesus Christ, you know.
But look, you know, just for context, and we'll back up here in a minute, but just for context, that wasn't too far removed from the Sloan. I mean, it's not
same kind of folks.
I mean, what year was that? So that was
June 69.
June 25th, 65.
65.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, it happens.
Butterhatchee River,
yeah, right there.
Real life. Game warden gets shot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, law enforcement
shot him in the throat with a .22 rifle. Nothing was ever done about it. Anything
because he was 16-year-old boy is what they claimed at the time.
Yeah, that's right. But people will get, you know, and they tried a fella right here in Lowndes County that shot Mr. Ike Shoemake in Wayne County, shot him with a .270. And
was he a game warden? Shoemake,
yes, sir,
was.
Mr. Ike Shoemake was game warden, and the fella was poaching. The fella caught him, and he shot him. And they tried that fella here in Columbus, and they found him guilty. And he just got out here about a year ago, year and a half ago. Yeah, and that's been a long time ago. But they harped on the uniform the whole time, you know, the defense did. Said, well, you know, couldn't tell who he was. And at the time, they just wore these old green slick coveralls, all the zippers, and had a patch on each sleeve. And it boiled down to, he said, he was a man walking upright. Right. Yeah. And that's boiled down to. They used whatever, you know. But
Mitt, they shot Ted Sloan over a catfish basket. And back then in 65, the fine wouldn't have been but about
$20. $25.
And killed him. And he was a good man in Caledon. He spent a lot of time with people.
In fact, the day he got killed, the old boy that was with him, named Turk, he was a painter. Mm-hmm. And they was out at Lake Lowndes out there. It was not Lake Lowndes State Park at the time. And they were building picnic tables.
Well, I'll be
Ted
down.
Was building picnic tables.
For the state.
Forever who.
Yeah.
You know, out at the park. And he told that boy, he says, I got something I got to go check on. Me and him talked about it quite often, he said, and he left and never come home.
Man, that's tough.
You know, so the governor was here and everything.
Governor came, flew in. I got the articles.
Yeah, it was on front page.
It was by my place at the Buttahatchee. Yeah. Ted Sloan built it.
Yeah.
That Boy Scout hut.
Yeah.
Ted was the Boy Scout leader back then.
Yeah. You remember the old wooden bridge down there on the not Sobley Road, but used to
Halbert.
Halbert Road. No, not Halbert, but you come in off Concourse and,
right.
And Nashville right. Ferry. Nashville Ferry Road
mm-hmm.
is an old wooden bridge.
Yeah.
And they'd been shooting down there, and I was sitting up behind an old schoolhouse. Used to be down there.
Concourse Schoolhouse.
And I heard him go, coming across that wooden bridge, and I called my buddy. It was Webb. I said, got one coming. And I'm up on this hill looking about that time that pulled in the field. I said, well, we got one looking down here. I don't know if they're going to find anything. I said, well, we're going to look at them. And they come out, I let them get by, and pulled in behind them. And I turned the lights on, and the chase was on. And the thing I remember about it was so funny. There was no tailgate in this old pickup truck, and there was a tire. And there was an old dog sitting up in that tire in the back of that truck. And that song gonna rode from there all the way down to the river down there. And ended up, and it was three of them. Two of them were 18 years old, and one of the little old boys was 13 years old. And Philip Robinson was a judge then. He's live. We went to court, and I was standing in there, and I talked to Philip about it. And he called it. He charged him other two boys. At the time, it wasn't much
right.
for the night hunting. And he had that little 13-year-old in there. He said, now, this officer here has agreed to this because you're 13 years old. We don't want you to get in more trouble. We're going to retire this ticket to the file. Now, for people that don't know what retire to the file means, is we're going to stick this in a drawer, okay? And we're going to keep it.
And if you get in trouble again.
For anything, we're going to pull this ticket out, and you're going to pay it plus what you got in trouble for again. So it's a big deterrent
to keep
for them to keep right. them, make them do right. You understand
right.
what I mean? And I got so tickled about that. So a lot of them that I knew that the parents was going to end up paying the ticket and stuff, whatever it is, I said, Judge, can we give them a little
leniency?
What's the name for it? Work it off?
The
community service.
Community service, yeah. Yeah, she said, what do you need? I said, well, it needs cleaning up down at Lux Park.
Yeah.
And for them to have to walk down that road pick up
garbage.
That trash and all the buddies come by looking at them.
Throwing stuff out.
And that's right. So it hurt.
You were that buddy.
That was Chris.
He made two of my buddies pick garbage up down there. We'll tell that one later, too.
You truck out driving by there.
Oh, we throw diapers out, all kinds of stuff. We had to get them.
That ain't right.
But, you know, it hurt your feelings.
Oh, it did.
And that was worse than – but it would have hurt them worse if the parents had have went and paid the ticket for them, and they wouldn't have learned anything. And I'd pull up into an area where there wasn't nothing much going on sometimes. I'd crawl up on the hood of that truck with my coveralls on, everything. I'd lean back on the windshield. You can't hear nothing in that truck.
Yeah.
And I hear a shot, and I always kept a map and a compass. And I'm laying outside looking at the stars and hear that shot. I'd immediately pick me out a treetop or something, and I'd pinpoint it.
Where the nearest road was.
I'd lay my map out on the ground, my compass, I oriented, I says, okay. I'd mark it. I said, I think I know about where that's coming from. So you just learn yourself without, you know, and I can tell this, like I said, I put a lot of effort in what I did. And I'd go to the courthouse, get a plat. Wasn't no Onyx map at the time.
That's right.
And a compass.
Blue line maps.
And I would, I'd get old pad up there to, I said, put scale on it for me. And I'd walk in there, I'd find property lines, I'd find this kind of stuff, I'd step it off or whatever, cause, you know, and it, you know where I was at. And then I'd go in if it took me a day, if it took me a week, or took me a month, whatever, I'd catch them. But my deal was, I wanted to catch them right. No question.
You want to get in their pocketbook.
Well, yeah. I wanted them to walk in there and pay that ticket and leave.
And know they got you, yeah.
And if they did go to court, and I give my evidence, the judge come in, she swung the gavel on them.
Not give any room for contested.
Exactly.
And loopholes and all that.
Every ticket that I ever wrote for hunting from the public road, which is shooting deer out of the truck window, you know, something like that, except one, I saw them shoot. A shot was fired. So that, just a loaded gun on the seat, I know that's a great law. It kept people from getting shot and all that kind of stuff. But there's been, in my opinion, I'm just saying this now, there's been a lot of people written tickets for hunting from the public road that weren't hunting.
Them guns in the back seat.
Well,
or even if it's loaded. The front seat.
The daddy been, just say for instance, hypothetical, the daddy's been hunting that morning. He comes in. you know, and the mom's there, and he said, and says, son, run down the store, get me a gallon of milk. Well, he runs out and gets into dad's truck to go to the store, and he gets stopped, and because there's one in the chamber or the magazine's in there, he gets a ticket.
Yeah. Or the dad on the way home from that hunting trip. Mm-hmm. Same scenario.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. And the
there was a run of those tickets a few years ago.
They changed the law on that, I think.
Yeah. But I just always
give them benefit of the doubt.
Benefit of the doubt, because, you know, I will get you.
Well, they wasn't none no better than you, I can tell you that.
Well, it's like
you shut down. I'm going to tell you this. You shut down, because when Bo came in, he had a game warden here. When Bo got here, it was kind of like Wild Wild West, Bo. Yeah. Nobody had been prosecuting. The other game warden lived on the other side of the river. So New Hope area where Bo lived, it was like the Wild Wild West. I mean, they was folks that would – I can remember them running dogs down at Deer Slayer, mm-hmm. standing on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, guns, and that's where you stood, full loaded. They wasn't waiting. Them. I mean, they were standing – we had some people shot down there, you remember, over the years.
Yeah.
And you shut all that down now, I'm going to tell you.
And I try to tell people, so I can't be here every night. I said, please call me. We're going to do all we can.
Right.
You know, and they understand that you've got – I had 600 square miles. I worked almost three years by myself.
That's right.
Went 3 days one time without sleep. Had styes on my eyes and everything. The county was wide open. You know, and I just doing the best I could.
It was like Wild Wild West now after he lost that partner. It was wild.
I would get up in the morning and go to Caledonia,
mm-hmm.
and I'd cover ground. I'd leave and I'd come down. I'd go to Artesia. I'd go to the southwest part of the county.
Just
I'd ride around
see
down
you.
There.
Just let them
and then,
see.
And then they'd come back. Somebody said, man, I see that guy over at Caledonia. Man, I seen him down at Artesia. See, it was kind of they didn't know where you were. And that was a good deterrent. It's kind of like a guy leaving a cop car sitting on the side of the road,
that's
you know,
right. yeah.
with a dummy in it, you know.
That's
so
right.
so that was my way of deterring. If you can't catch all of them, just make them think you're there.
That you're there.
Yeah. So
and some of that goes to the landowner. We're talking about, you know,
yeah.
just being present on your property. And we're
but,
talking,
you know, I'm going to tell you, the way you protected everybody's property, Bo, you I mean, we talk about values, Brent, all the time. But having a good game warden that's patrolling and protecting those resources, hey, that's a value in itself. I mean, it really is. Knowing that they got somebody that they can call and don't let people take. And, I mean, you didn't let nobody bluff you too much, I can tell you.
No. And, well, I mean, we were trained a lot different than most law enforcement. You know, when I went to Pearl down there at the Highway Patrol Academy, we went through 9 weeks. And then they let us come home for a week. And then we went to 4 weeks fishing game school, went down to Reed Deer Camp down north end of Eagle Lake, down somewhere. And but then all of our training, like they're giving these guys now that go over to Holmes County for 22 weeks, we got all of our stuff, our forensics, Mississippi State. I spent many a day over at Mississippi State, forensics, you name it, all kind of stuff, all over the country. My boss came to me one day, Mr. Levi Haley, and he lives at Macon, and he said, oh, we got a school coming up. You want to go? And I said, yes, sir. He said, don't none of these other older guys want? And I said, Miss Levi, I said, you don't even have to come ask me, because I didn't go to college.
Right.
I hated school. I got out of high school. And I says, all you got to do, you sign me up and tell me where I need to be. I'll go. And I've got a stack of certificates that I went to every school I could get in to learn
to make a better game warden.
Spent 2 weeks at Yorktown, Virginia, the Coast Guard Academy.
Right.
You know, underwriters, laboratories, fraud convention, fraud, you know, burning boats and stuff
right.
like that,
right.
how to reconstruct boating accidents. And that was really my
expertise.
I love the boat and stuff and retrieving stolen boats.
Yeah.
Man, found a bunch of them. You know, I'd
walk.
While we were in the water checking a boat, I'm pulling that boat around. I'm looking at that VIN. I'm looking at everything. You know, you don't ever know what you're going to find.
You found several stolen ones?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Stolen stuff all the time.
Bo, did you run into a lot of folks back in with a lot of dope on them and stuff like that? Or
well, it's sad. It's sad to say, but a lot of your night hunting stuff, and it would get pretty hairy sometimes.
Right.
Especially depending on where you're at. And I hate to say, but 90-95% of the time, they were either drunk or on dope.
Yeah. You take a guy done drank a fifth, when Bo made that head wobble on that dummy deer, that 30-30 was barking. They was going to shoot, wasn't it?
Well, you know, Glenn Atkins told me a story. He run one out of Monroe County. He'd come up, and he called me because ended up in Lowndes. And he just had me just come get him, take him to jail. And it was a guy they'd been after. I called him a couple of times before that. And he called me, and he said they were going to try me. He said, because I heard one when he stopped him, got him out of the truck. And the one that got out, he said, I told you that SOB was by himself.
They knew.
They were going to try him.
Yeah.
You know what? And I always, people always ask me, well, you're not afraid? I said, no, I never was afraid. I said, but I was very, very cautious.
Ain't no doubt.
You know,
you had children and you
well, and you think about this. There have been cases of people trespassing on people's land, stuff like that, shot. You know, we worked a lot of hunting accidents, investigations, and all that kind of stuff. But you take an old boy done spent time in the pen, okay? And he gets out. He loved to hunt. He said, I'm going hunting. He gets him a gun for somebody. He's out there. Here comes the game warden bottling out through there. He said, man, I ain't going back to the pen. I'll just leave him laying out here in the woods. Now, I'm just telling you the way I felt. I never walked a trail.
You come up on the blind.
I always, if I had something in question and people thought I was nuts, it's just the way I was, I would go in a place in the middle of the night with a pad and a pencil and draw a map and my compass, and I'd walk that place.
How to get there to them.
And I would map out, if I'm walking that road, every place that I was going in there. They never knew I was there until I said, They never knew. They never knew I was there, you know, and that's just the way I was. I was raised that way, you know. But I understood, too, what a man can do. If he's scared, a scared man will kill you.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, a scared man will kill you. And it's not only here. There's been wildlife officers all over this country that's been shot.
Well, Brent, if we didn't mention, and Bo remembers it, but, you know, Ted Sloan was a conservation officer in Lowndes County in the 60s. And he got shot. We were talking about it earlier before we got on the air.
Yeah.
In 65. Man, 64, 65, they shot him in over a
fish basket.
Yeah. Fish basket. You know, $20 shot the man, killed him.
Yeah.
Over a fish basket.
Ted was the type of guy that he had an inner tube, and he kept this little camera. I can't remember what kind it was. And he took a lot of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on them.
Yeah.
He was going to catch them.
Yeah.
He would float down that Buddy Hatchie River in an inner tube.
Right.
Mm. And he'd catch you.
Yeah, he was a tough guy.
I mean, he was a good guy. I mean,
but he was a good guy, y'all.
But he did his job. I mean, he took it to heart, and you know, and he did his job. But he's dead.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody was ever prosecuted anything over that.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And that goes to some of what I said earlier that what burns me up about it being glorified and all, like, it's not cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's your task with going out there and enforcing the law, you know, if somebody thinks it's fun or it's a joke, you know, that's annoying. Aside from the theft and the, you know, like if you're trying to manage a piece of ground to maximize it, you know, it's yours. There's also that element that it's, you know, if somebody's going out and enforcing that law and putting themselves between the landowner and this person, and possibly putting themselves in a bad position, dangerous position.
Mm-hmm. I just thought about this. I had a guy that used to sell licenses out of the truck. This guy bought commercial fishing license every year because he knew he had to have him on the river and all. But he was notorious for running the road, shooting deer off the road and stuff. And I had that decoy in the back of the truck. He called me, wanted some license. I never forget. He's over there. Hankin Super Ed. And I met him over there to buy a license, and he looked over the back of that truck. He said, you won't ever catch me shooting that thing. And I just thought about it. I said, I should be the least of your worry. And he looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, I started naming off every road that he was riding. And he just looked at me kind of funny. I said, I know I can't be everywhere, and I know you slick, dude. I said, but let me give you some friendly advice. these people that are calling me about you, they know your vehicle.
They're watching you.
They're watching you. And I says, it's very possible that you stick that gun out the window of that truck and one of them sitting over in the shooting house, that somebody going to leave you in that truck.
They're going to shoot back.
They're going to shoot back. And I was just rolling on kind of heavy for him. And I says, and you know what? It's probably going to be ruled a hunting accident.
Reverse psychology a little bit.
Well, I tell everybody I had a 16, 17 year. I said I had a 17 year class in psychology, and they said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I was a game warden for 17 years. I heard everything it could be thought of." I mean, it starts at the academy,
right?
EIT, man, that was an eye opener for me. I was 35 years old when I went in that academy down there, and.
You was older when you got it, when you got that job.
I was 35 years old when I went in. And but just trying to make the most
of it. I'm going to tell you, if you hear what he's talking about, keeping those records, y'all, don't you know he was a good game warden, and you not even knowing him, just studying. And think about now, if he had the technology they have now. You couldn't do anything.
It'd be rough, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be tough on me. I couldn't do anything.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
I appreciate you coming. Hey, I deeply appreciate y'all inviting me to come. I say, because
it
brings back memories to me, you know, things that happened, you know.
No doubt.
One of the most satisfying moments, I guess, in my whole career was I was getting fuel one day in the truck, two pumps over. So the boy said, "Hey, Mr. Bo." I said, "Hey, buddy." And I said, "I'm sorry, I can't remember your name." And he walked up, and I said, "Yeah." I says, "He said, yeah, you caught me, so and so." I said, "Ah, yeah, buddy." I said, "I'm sorry, did it cost you a lot of money?" He said, "No, sir, it wasn't really that bad." He says, "But," he said, "you gave me a little talking to that day." And he says, "All them boys as I was running with, every one of them's in trouble." And he says, "I took it to heart what you told me. And I cared what happened to them, you know. So if I change one life."
Oh, man, that's.
You know.
You changed a lot of lives.
It's get them going in the right direction. So my boss asked me one time, our big boss at one time asked me, he said, "What's your long-term objective being a conservation officer?" I said, "Educate the public to the point to where you don't have to write no more tickets." And he looked at me crazy. And it, to me, that's a deal.
Right.
Yeah. Educate the public to the point to where you never have to write another ticket.
Find something.